Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It is a pre-tampering tamper as the football gods get going. It feels like football's been shut down ever since like Justin Tucker got accused the third time. It feels like it's been a couple of weeks. Luke Jones is here. He will be monitoring all things. If you are on our WNST text service, you know how good we are. If you're not, get on it, 410-821-9678. Just text the word join or WNST and you're in. All the details up at Baltimore Positive. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on the interwebs. Over the weekend, he will be Deacon Jones on Sunday and Tampering Luke on Monday. The Ravens are always not the headline of free agency, right? Like they're on the outside. We talked about Justin Tucker and all of that. The owners' meetings aren't for a couple of weeks, but this free agency period for the Ravens, it's kind of quiet. And what's up with Ronnie Stanley? A lot of other places, it's like a hell-raising week, right?
It really is. I mean, just look at this last week, how many guys trade requests, whether we're talking about Trey Hendrickson in the division, in addition to Myles Garrett already wanting out in Cleveland. So you have a couple edge rushers that in a vacuum, the Ravens would love to have, but you're not holding your breath that you're going to be able to work something out with an AFC North rival. So, but you have that, you have DK Metcalf, you have wide receivers. I mean, Deebo Samuel's already on his way to Washington, pending the start of the new league year. So, there's a lot of that going on, and that's not to say the Ravens won't add a veteran or two at some point in time, but it really does feel like one way or the other, Ronnie Stanley is the first domino that's going to fall here that kind of shapes their offseason, putting aside the Justin Tucker saga for just a moment, right? I mean, we know that that is there, that's going to continue to be there for the foreseeable future, whether he sticks around or whenever they release him, right? But in terms of just making strict football decisions, the Ronnie Stanley one is the big one here. And, we heard Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh express optimism at the combine a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, about their chances of Stanley being retained and returning. But we also know that Ronnie Stanley has been a longtime Ravens player rep for the NFLPA. This is a generalization, and there are always exceptions to the rule. And certainly, you're talking about a 9-year business partnership between the sides. But generally speaking, the union isn't in the business of giving incumbent teams hometown discounts to stick around. And hey, we're on the cusp of at least the tampering period, even though let's call a spade, tampering has been going on since at least the combine, if not before then. So I think there very much is a sense of if Ronnie Stanley hits the market, it's going to be really tough to keep him, right? I mean, Kansas City just traded Joe Tooney, their all-pro left guard, who they had kind of used as a last resort at tackle. And we saw how that went against the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So could the Chiefs shuffle around enough cap dollars to make a run at Ronnie Stanley? The Patriots, you listen to any Patriots reporters. I mean, Ronnie Stanley's been one of the big guys they've talked about for the last 6 weeks in terms of making a run. So,
That's, by the way, that's pretty pathetic if your franchise is waiting on Ronnie Stanley to fix you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that the Ravens would cut bait with him. I don't know that they're going to have a better solution than him. And let's go back a year. Let's go back a year to Morgan Moses and Kevin Zeitler and how they felt about those guys at that point. Zeitler was a guy that was not injured, not old, not tired, and played pretty well. They felt like, he was a good dude, a kind of guy that. They let him go, and it was over a lot less money than Ronnie Stanley. And I look at Ronnie Stanley and say, well, do we not value him enough? Here's how much I value him, Luke. And for our audience that just woke up, that's just discovered me in the last 10 minutes, the day he got injured during the first injury, was that pre-plague? Wasn't that like 19, 20, 21? It was somewhere in there.
It
He
was
got
20.
injured, 20,
It was
right?
20, the first year with the pandemic.
Yeah. So when he got injured in that game, I looked at my wife and said, they can't win the Super Bowl without that guy. Now, that's a young Lamar and a younger Ronnie Stanley. It was a different complement of players around him. He didn't have the wide receivers and all of that. But he had still played well. It's still been a, MVP caliber kind of guy in 19. But the loss of Marshall Yanda affected them. There's no doubt about that. And replacing him, I don't see Ronnie Stanley as that guy, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I don't know who they would play with next year at a discount and say it's going to be just as good. I don't know how much they love Ronnie Stanley. I really don't. We're going to find out, though, aren't we?
Yeah, well, you indirectly bring up the point that I've really wrestled with a lot over the last, since the season ended. I mean, even going back to last year. I mean, keep in mind, you mentioned last year, they cut his pay, right? You know very well, having whether you're talking about the Ravens or any number of other teams
Most
in the
guys
league,
fly when you say you're going to
went
cut my pay, right?
well, but the other side of that is you're prepared to cut that player if they balk, because the first time you ask a player to take a pay cut and he says no, and then you say, okay, we're good. The next guy and the next agent knows that you're not going to stand your ground there. Part of that whole song and dance when you ask a player to take a pay cut is you're willing to walk away. So the Ravens a year ago at this time did cut his pay, did void the last year of his deal, which allowed him to become a free agent a year earlier. And look, the perception at that point was, oh, there's no way this guy can play on the last couple of years of what had been a 5-year, $98.5 million contract. Yet a year later, after, to his credit, a really good contract season, first time in his career, he started all 17 games. He played not at an elite level, but played well enough to be a Pro Bowl alternate. And so he did everything he could through that lens. Practiced, didn't take vet days as he was apt to do even 5, 6 years ago, and did everything he could. So he's earned the right to a payday. Now, that said, and you just alluded to this, you have to understand what you're paying for and what you're getting here. Look, Ronnie Stanley just had a contract that, as I said, acknowledging the last year of it was voided, he was paid very handsomely for not being available or effective or as effective as he could have been because of the injuries for a large chunk of that 5-year period.
Yeah, he made
So,
40 or $50 million without playing, and then last year played cheap but played better. And the question is, did you give some of it back? Do you want more of it back now? But
yeah.
he's a 3-year, $60 to $75 million player on Tuesday, right?
I
Literally.
mean, I it's funny you mentioned that because I've been asked this question a lot. Where, how far would I go to keep Ronnie Stanley?
Well, how far will the New England Patriots get to go to
That's
keep to
right,
get him, right?
and that's all that matters, right? I mean, you have
Right.
one team. If he hits market, that's why I said if he hits market, I think he's gone, right? And if I'm wrong on that, I'll be wrong. I've been wrong before on
I think he
trying to.
has to hit the market to get his real value. I don't think the
Well,
Ravens are going to overcompensate him or pay him more than the Patriots would potentially pay him. Then the question is, hey, dude, he might really like it here. He might see himself as a Ring of Honor guy, see
and there
himself
is
as a
that.
Lamar guy. I can't win in New England. I like it here. I like the people. If he loves it here, we'll find that out too. I mean,
Yeah,
he
and
did last year to take a pay cut, but that was all predicated on him being able to have today. That
yeah,
pay
and
cut
he didn't.
was, I'll give you, I do this with sponsors. I'll give you a little back now, but later on, you got to pay me what we're worth, right? I mean, so I
Right.
think that that's, there's emotion in this, right? There is.
They're always, especially when you're talking about someone who's been with you as long as these two sides have been together, right? I mean, you're talking about nearly a decade. You're talking about one of your longest tenured players. So there's always some of that. You're talking about someone who suffered a horrific injury that basically cost him 2 full seasons, right? I mean, it was from midway through 2020, really, he played week one in 21 and then he was done. And then it was what, week 5, week 6, whatever it was in 2022 when he was back, right? So that's a long time. And there is a lot to the rehab process there. And there's a lot of sweat equity that goes in there. There's a lot of mental strain on the player's part, I think, when he can't perform at a level that he's accustomed to performing. And also, there is a human element here. No, you're not going to give the money back because you signed a contract, and if you got hurt, you're entitled to that money. No one's suggesting otherwise, but there's still very much a sense of letting your team down, letting your organization down when you get hurt and you can't play. I've heard numerous players say that, right? That's human nature, when you sign up for something and then you can't perform, right? You're not out there or you're not performing at a high level. So a year ago, this was at a very different place because he was coming off of a 2023 season where he had some injuries and he flat out said, I mean, he was very critical of his own play. So A year later, this is a different cause, but a different case, and he's in a better place health-wise, performance-wise. But I think you also have to recognize this isn't Jonathan Ogden in his prime. This isn't Ronnie Stanley 5 years ago in his prime, pre-ankle injury. So how far are you willing to go? I think, you've heard some reports, coming out of the combine, estimating his value, probably being fringe top five tackle money, considering he's the best tackle to hit the market here, if he does indeed hit the market. So you're talking north of $20 million a year, average annual value. Now, that's a very broad way of looking at it. What's the guaranteed money, right? What's the guarantee? What's the guarantee the first couple years? All of that. So,
Well, it's also hard to figure out whether is he a 1 year player or 2 year
and
player.
that's the
You
thing,
can't think
right?
of him as a 3 year player at
And that's
this
the
point.
thing. I mean, you could sign him. Look, you could give him a deal that says 5 years, $100 million, and it looks very similar at face value to the deal he signed 5 years ago. But how much guaranteed money is in that? Is that really a 2 year deal and then a team option, team options after that? I mean, that's the big key.
Well,
I
as a
think.
union guy, to your point, the union guys always have to get, they always have to raise the bar.
Yeah, and I think for him, I mean, it's really the guarantee. And look, we mentioned New England just as a very obvious one. There are probably 10 other teams, at least 10 other teams out there that, all things being equal, they'd like to have Ronnie Stanley if they could sign him, right? So I think that's where this is challenging. But if you're the Ravens, all right. I think at the start of the offseason, there was a thought of, would this be 2 years, 40? Would this be 3 years, 55? Would this be 3 years, 60? But like, what's the first year guarantee? What's the guarantee at signing? But if it's going to go more than that, I think you do have to be prepared to say, we shouldn't do this, right? We love the guy. We know we don't want to be in a position ideally where you're replacing your left tackle. At the same time, you can't pay him like he's Jonathan Ogden back in 1999. And obviously relative, because the cap is so much more than it was even 5 years ago, let alone talking about before that. But I think where you should take a little bit of solace, if you're a Ravens fan and you're looking at this situation, it's exactly what you just said. I mean, look at where they were with their offensive line a year ago at this time. Look how many conversations you and I had. And it wasn't this hot take, oh, they're doomed with their O-line kind of tone. But there was very much a concern and very much an unknown about how you're going to proceed with your offensive line. And then how did their offensive line turn out this year? They figured it out. Was it the best in the league? No, but they played at a high level. They played at a high enough level when you have Lamar Jackson and
Well, the
understanding what
penalties,
he does.
I would come back and say we
Well,
lead the
yeah.
world in penalties.
Okay, I understand that,
Yeah.
but they still had an
They're an eff
unbelievable
they're effective
offense.
players. I
They had
agree
an
with that, yes.
incredible offense, right? And look, it wasn't a perfect offensive line. That's why I said it wasn't number one in the league, but they were, in terms of how they performed relative to the overall performance of the offense. I think you could argue they were at worst, top half of the league,
Okay,
right? And I think
say
better than
this.
that.
I think that the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line was not good enough to win the Super Bowl for them. And over 19 weeks, it proved to be right, even though they got to the Super Bowl, that that was their Achilles, right?
Yeah.
So in an offense with a
Yeah.
$50 million quarterback, that's better than our quarterback, quite frankly, and that's pretty good. So, but they didn't put enough in front of him to win a Super Bowl, and they're 6, 7 years into this thing now, where they've won a couple times, lost a couple times, but the offensive line was their undoing. I don't feel like last year's offensive line was the Ravens' undoing, or
No.
would have been had they have gotten to play Philadelphia. Maybe in the end they wouldn't have been good enough and lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, but they didn't. We have to worry about that. They couldn't even get there. But it wasn't because of the offensive line.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. So that's where you look at it, and the Chiefs can be a cautionary tale then, right? I mean, it's not just this year. I mean, think back to 20,
Sure.
2020 when they lost to the Bucs.
When Orlando Brown was the apple of their eye, right?
Right. So there's some precedent to them targeting a Ravens tackle. So I think so much of this for me hinges on, it really pivots on where are they with Roger Rosengarten, right? If you think Roger Rosengarten, if you truly think he can play left tackle, and then the question is, you need to go out and find another Roger Rosengarten, or you need to go sign a veteran right tackle for, the next Morgan Moses, for example. If you really feel you can do that, and with Lamar and his ability to escape pressure And understanding you're getting younger there, understanding then you can take those dollars and devote them to whatever else you want to allocate them to. Hey, you've got a Kyle Hamilton deal you need to do. You're going to have to pay Tyler Linderbaum, as we've talked about. Linderbaum, there's a good chance a year and a half from now, he's going to be the highest paid center in the league because that's kind of how this works. So that's where you have to judge this. I mean, I
Yeah,
think you're
to your
willing.
point, you're going to have a $19-20 million center 2 years from now.
Yeah, right. I mean,
Right.
Creed
Yeah.
Humphrey, who's number one right now, and that deal was signed, what, last offseason or the one before that? I'm trying to think. It fairly recently. You would think with the cap going up and with Linderbaum having been a two-time Pro Bowl safety himself, he's going to be gunning for that to be in that kind of territory. So that's where you look at this and say, all right, I'm willing to extend to a certain point with Ronnie Stanley, but I'm not just giving him a blank check because, again, this is where we come back to this injury history, and he's going to be 31 here. So guys that are hurt in their 20s generally don't, you can't generally project them to suddenly stay healthy in their 30s, right? That's illogical. So that's where I look at this thing and say, okay, if it's 20 million a year for 2 or 3 years and it's not a crazy guarantee at signing where I could get out of this after 2 years if I needed to, I'm okay with that. If it's going much higher than that, I think you have to be willing to walk away, and that's not ideal. And then the biggest question of the offseason becomes, all right, who's your left tackle? Even if you say Rosengarten, okay, who's your right tackle? Because
Well, it changes our conversation dramatically if Ronnie Stanley is a Patriot on Wednesday.
sure, whether it's, and again, the Patriots are the most, they have the most cap space. So if he's truly making what's solely a business decision and winning doesn't matter at all, which I think he wants to win, but you can
He's
also
made
go up.
$110 million or something, right,
Right,
in his career. He
exactly.
he's
So,
made a lot of money.
sure.
And I don't
So
know,
he
you know.
doesn't, so it doesn't have to be,
This
I don't.
signing's not changing anything about the way he's going to live the rest of his life,
Sure.
other than, are you happy? Are you happy going to work? Can you win a championship? Because once you
Right.
made $100 million, you can't lose. You're a winner.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you don't expect him to play for peanuts, but that's where it is interesting to see what other teams jump in. I mean, the Patriots, that there's not much appeal right now of going to New England if you have any interest in winning. Even if you like Drake May. I mean, that's just the reality of where they are right now. But you look at someone like Kansas City who, and they don't have a lot of cap space, so let's be clear on that one, but if they can make a really, really, really competitive offer, he might look at that and say, well, I've tried it with the Ravens multiple times and I've come up short. Maybe I'll go join, I'll go join the evil empire, right? Again, we're spitballing here, and it could be as simple as the Ravens striking a deal over the weekend. But it's tough when you get to this point. It's one thing to talk when you're 2 or 3 weeks out or a month out from free agency, but you're just days, hours away from hitting the market. Man, that's when it's really tough to get something done. And I think that's where the reality is at this point in time. And that's not to say the Ravens can't get it done. I think their optimism a couple weeks ago was genuine. I do think all things being equal, Ronnie Stanley would like to stay in Baltimore, but he's also he's a NFLPA rep. He's a union guy. The cap has gone up and it's gone up and it's gone up some more over the last few years. So all these deals are relative, and when you look at value, the cost of business is going up. So I think there is a price point, unlike say, like Stanley 5 years ago before the ankle injury, where you just said at that point it was kind of sort of a blank check for him, right? This isn't a blank check scenario. This isn't a blank check scenario like it is for Lamar Jackson, right? Like it will be for Kyle Hamilton most likely. I think you have to be sensible here in recognizing what you're paying for, even if that ends up being a painful decision where you have to pivot and you have to figure out left tackle. And let's face it, one thing you have to kind of look back on, and understanding your point about 2020 when he got hurt and the comment that you made at that point, and I vividly remember doing radio with you the next day saying, I don't think the Ravens can win the Super Bowl. And they've had really good teams. They've been close. They've gotten to an AFC title game with Stanley not being an elite left tackle. So you do have to understand
By the way, who played left tackle? Was
what
it
in 20? Oh,
yeah.
that was Orlando Brown that year. They moved him over to the left side after Stanley got hurt. In 21, when Stanley played in week one in Vegas and then he couldn't play, that was Alejandro Villanueva. Now,
Villanueva, thank you. All right, thank
that
you.
year, ooh, that was the year where their offensive line was a colossal problem. But the point is, over the last 5 years, how often have they really had elite left tackle play? And you still see what they've been, at least from a regular season standpoint, and getting to January and being in these spots. And to your point, and I wholeheartedly agree, they didn't lose in Buffalo because of their offensive line play, right? I mean, they dropped the ball, right? They
Right.
turned the ball over 3 times. So you can't do that. So that's kind of a limited, kind of simplistic way of looking at it. But again, that's where I look at this and say, I'm willing to go to a certain point for Ronnie Stanley, but if this is going to be $23 million a year and you're having to give him 4 or 5 years, you're having to give him more guaranteed money, that's where I look at that and say, I don't know if he's going to be that guy. And as much as I tip my cap to how he played in 2024, am I going to bet on him doing that again? And again, you made the mention of the value piece. The Ravens lost a lot of value in that Ronnie Stanley contract. This past year, they gained some back because he played better than, what was he, a $7.5 million, salary, something like that, whatever it was.
He played like
He
a $15 million
did.
tackle, right?
So they
Yeah.
got some of that. They got some surplus value. They got some value back. Are you willing to run the risk that you're going to hand that back and then some if you overextend yourself here? So that's the question right
It's
now.
like having the last beer at the bar. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
Yeah. Yeah. Is it
do I
worth
want
it?
one more or do I not? Luke Jones
Yeah.
is here. He's Baltimore Luke. The rest of the league, especially bad teams, bad teams have money, to your point. These crowd, oh, we got all the money in the world. Look out, give it to Matt Judon. I do think that this is the fool's gold period, right? And it's almost like the day after the draft, the top 10 teams always won the draft because they took the best players, but they're the worst teams in the league generally. So, there is a little bit of a booby prize when you go out and you're the one that got the $98 million safety signed or whatever it is, thinking you've transformed your team. I don't know if the Ravens have ever won a second a week of March, like to go out and sign somebody and say, man, that really worked out. That was great. And a lot of times, even the players they've lost this time of year, this organization's, I don't need to speak of their arrogance. I think you're well aware of their arrogance, that they just believe we'll just get comp picks. I mean, like,
Yeah.
that player is good. He'll go sign there. We'll get comp picks for him. He's gone. And they accept that. And it may be harder in other places where general managers lose their job every 3 to 5 years. And there's new socks around here where these guys all know everybody's secrets inside the building and they all have jobs for life. I would say for them, this is, they don't feel like they need to win this week. There's no headline they have to have. They just need to have a good football team by the end of the week.
Yeah, I mean, and again, the Stanley piece is really driving this, but if you lose him, that doesn't mean you're going to go out and throw a ton of money at another left tackle, right? I mean, he's perceived to be the best left tackle hitting the market. You mentioned, big splashes. I mean, 3 years ago they made a big splash signing Marcus Williams, and well, they're going to release him this week officially, and we've known for months he's going to be released, so it's not news. So yeah, and look, that doesn't mean that you can't make a savvy signing. I mean, Derrick Henry, they didn't throw big money at last year. They threw some money at him, and that worked beautifully for them to the point where they're going to have to, that's something else that I at least should mention in passing. The Saquon Barkley extension certainly makes the price for extending Derrick Henry, who is 3 years older. I mean, he's not going to get Saquon money. We know that, but probably makes that, tacking on a year or two to his deal, maybe a little more complicated, a little more expensive.
Well, I did see a Derrick Henry Oiler jersey on sale. It had a 99-cent bid. So if he's going to stick around, I can get you one if you want one.
I mean, but those are historically, those are the kind of signings the Ravens make. I mean, they're not going to go out and sign lucrative big pieces. And generally, when they have, It hasn't always worked out well. I mean, that's what it's funny to hear some of the discourse this week about safety. And obviously, because, Kyle Hamilton is tremendous, but you'd like to put him back in a position where you can move him around a little bit more. If you do that, that's dependent on adding another safety, whether it's via the draft or a free agent. But let's call a spade, Nestor. Over the last 10 years, the Ravens' track record with free agent safeties, it hasn't been all that hot. Okay, I'll give you Eric Weddle. That worked out well, but Tony Jefferson, you love the person. He didn't play like the contract that they gave him. Earl Thomas, say nothing more, and Marcus Williams. So my point there isn't that no, you can't go out and sign a safety, but it's a buyer beware kind of scenario to make sure you have someone that's going to fit. So I think if you're the Ravens, and again, Stanley is the major caveat here, and acknowledge the Tucker thing right now, although no one's going out and signing a kicker on the first day of free agency anyway, even if there's a veteran kicker that they might have their eye on just in case. But I think you look at the Ravens, the rest of their roster, they have plenty of positions they could do some work on, right? Corner, they certainly could stand to add another corner, but you do have Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins. That's a really good start there. Even though you're going to need a third, whether that comes in the draft or whether that comes in signing some kind of veteran on a value deal 5 days in the free agency. And we've seen them do that. We've seen them sign Brandon Carr and guys like that over the years. So that's certainly doable. But you kind of go down the list, corner, edge rusher, they could always add to, right? I mean, Kyle Van Noy's a year older, Adafe Oweh's in a contract year. Your young guys are completely unproven, haven't done anything to really instill much trust. I mentioned safety, kicker. I already mentioned that. You could always look at another guard. What's going to happen with Patrick McCary? We've talked a lot about Stanley. What's going to happen with McCary, right? I don't think you're giving McCary lucrative money, but someone else might give him pretty decent money after the year he just had. So, are you willing to let him go and say, all right, we'll go with Falele and Voorhees was our starting left guard the first 3 weeks of the season until he got hurt. We'll look at that and we'll try to draft a guard on day two or something like that. So, but so my point is you can kind of go down the entire depth chart and every position other than running back, because they have Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, Keaton Mitchell, they're pretty set there, right? It's not really much of an argument to make for adding another running back. But you could look at every other position, even tight end, because what's going to happen with Mark Andrews, right? We've talked about that. We'll see what happens. There could be a resolution here very quickly, one way or the other, with Mark Andrews. So, could you add a tight end if you're trading Mark Andrews, even if you're going to extend likely? So, my point is they have plenty of areas that they can address, but, their most pressing needs. Again, it's really dependent what happens with Stanley and left tackle, and then what that could mean for right tackle if Rosengarten moves over, if Stanley ends up walking. So, my point is they can cast a pretty wide net here. And generally speaking, when you're talking about having a bunch of positions you want to address, but you're not in dire straits that you must add someone at a position, that's kind of where you want to be. And again, left tackle, that's the big one. It's the big one way or the other. We're going to have a resolution here, and that's either going to be their overwhelmingly biggest need, or they'll have them signed, and then, okay, what else can you do? But, you look at every other spot on the field, they need to add a number three wide receiver, right? They tight end, I already mentioned. You could add another guard. Defensive line, interior defensive line. I think you could add some depth there. What's going to happen with Brent Urban? Michael Pierce is another year older. Linebacker. I think you really want to see, hopefully, Trenton Simpson's ready to put that last year behind him and become a starter, because you can't. I don't think spending money on another inside linebacker is the optimal option here. So, you can kind of look all around and you can add a piece here or there. Backup quarterback. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Josh Johnson's going to be, what, 39? Oh, if he's not already. So are you willing to just have him be your backup again, or are you going to look at another option there? I don't think you're spending much money on that, but it's still something you need to do. So, they do have quite a few. I struggle to call them needs, but They do have quite a few positions where they certainly could stand to add and augment and fortify. That's kind of where you're looking. And look, that's probably not a big surprise because you're talking about a team that a roster that's been very balanced and very good overall the last couple years, right? It's why they've been so successful in the regular season. So, what exactly can they do to get over the hump? I still think most of those answers are going to come either internally or via the draft. To your point, I don't expect the Ravens to necessarily make a big time colossal move here, but what does a Mark Andrews trade look like if you're going to make one? So, that's kind of the wild card
What
here.
does that look like to you, a Mark Andrews trade?
It's tough, right? I knew you were going to ask. As soon as I said that, I figured you were going to ask me
Well,
that.
that's because I do this professionally. I ask professional
Well, I mean,
questions.
I think
And
you have
you're
to be
smarter than me.
realistic.
Everybody knows it,
I mean,
so.
you have to be realistic. I mean, you're talking about a tight end who's 30 years old. He's not in his prime. At the same
No, it's
time,
a
we're
fourth round pick, isn't it? That's what it is. It's
yeah.
not
I
a
mean,
second, right? It's
yeah,
not.
no. I mean, especially. I mean, he's in a walk year, right? He's going to be 30 in September. He has had a little more of an injury history here recently, although he was pretty healthy, very healthy as the year went on this past year. I think some of it you gauge up against, okay, if you let it play out and you let him play for you in 2025, what kind of contract is he going to get on the open market? Probably not so lucrative that you'd get a third round comp pick. You're probably looking at most a fourth round comp pick. And maybe not even that. So if a team offers you a fourth now in this year's draft, you might be, you're tempted to do that. So, I struggle with the idea of just giving him away. I don't want this to turn into an Anquan Boldin scenario where you trade him for a seventh round pick, like the Ravens did over a decade ago, and we know how that went. You'll miss Mark Andrews, regardless of how anyone feels about what happened in Buffalo or postseason. Track record. This guy's helped them win a lot of games over the last 5, 6 years. You're not the all-time touchdown scoring leader in Ravens history without doing something right. So I think we can find some reasonable middle ground here of saying, if you get a fourth round pick, kind of an offer for him, then I think you probably do it. But at the same time, you acknowledge, hey, this is going to change the makeup of our offense. One, we better get something done with Isaiah Likely in his contract year, and he's going to have a bigger role. But what else does that mean? What does that mean in terms of target distribution? Does that open up more for the wide receivers? Does that open up more for Charlie Kohler as the number two tight end? Do you draft another tight end in, day three, right? In the way that they did with Kohler and Likely. There are a lot of tentacles to that. And there's an acknowledgement of, yeah, if you do trade Mark Andrews, if you do part with Mark Andrews, that's going to change your offense. I mean, he's been Lamar Jackson's safety net. I mean, Lamar's even said that. He's called him my safety net. When things are kind of break down, he's the guy I look to. So if you're going to part with that, and I understand if you're going to from a cap standpoint, you have to acknowledge then, yeah, your offense is going to have to evolve here, and you're not just running it back. And you might even have some early season growing pains as a result of that next year. I don't think their offense falls apart because, Mark Andrews hasn't been their entire offense. Lamar runs the ship, right? Drives the car here. But that would be a pretty striking change. So I think you need to at least tread carefully in proceeding. And I'm sure, they've thought about it. I would hope they've talked to Lamar about it. If you are indeed moving on from Mark Andrews, and I'm sure they have, but yeah, I think, at fourth round that feels reasonable to me, right? I mean, for someone who, still caught 11 touchdowns last year. I mean, he had the bad September, we get that, but you take away September and you kind of, play out the rest of the season. His numbers, they were very Mark Andrews like after that, so. How much of it was the ankle? Remember, he had the car accident in August last summer, and I think that impacted him as well. So, this is still a good player, but I also understand if you say, hey, we can't pay him and Likely, and Isaiah Likely's 4.5 years younger. So I think that's where you look at this thing and say, it makes sense to move on from Andrews and get something done with Likely, hopefully sooner than later. That's something you'd like to be proactive about if you are going to make this move. But you know, I think that's the big question. But no, second round pick or anything like that. No, I mean, you're talking about someone in a walk here. I mean, we see, you know, we saw what, you know, it's a different sport, but look how little the Orioles had to give up for Corbin Burns, right? You know, in a walk here, and you're talking about a Cy Young Award winner there. So when you're talking about any player that's in a walk here, you're not going to get lucrative compensation. That's why I kind of laugh when I hear the Seahawks talk, you know, with the DK Metcalf thing. What the reported asking price for him is a first and a third, and you're going to have to give him a new contract. I'd be skeptical if they ultimately get that. I mean, maybe they will, because DK Metcalf is a heck of a talent when he's healthy. But you know, for a tight end who's 30 years old, you're probably not going to do much better than a fourth. Maybe there's a pick swap involved. Maybe you'd swap second round picks with a team that has a much better second round pick. You know, you can get creative with some of these deals, but no, you're not getting a first round pick for Mark Andrews. You're not getting a second, you know, a second round pick alone for Mark Andrews. It's going to be compensation that's going to be less than that, and you kind of have to weigh, you know, what's going to be worth it for you to do that, understanding that yeah, you're going to be walking away from a player who's been a really important part of your offense for a long time.
Here's Luke Jones. It is a tampering period. It's free agency. It's the NFL. We're inching closer to baseball season. We're going to be in Toronto, Canada, as the well, I'll be the ugly American. You can be the guy that keeps us safe as we go and hang out with Geddy Lee. By the way, speaking of Canadian musicians, Rick Emmett of Triumph joined me for about an hour this week, talking about his new project and album and his music. Also had some wise Canadian words for the Americans, in regard to politics and in regard to coming to Canada. He, by the way, he told me this hat, wear this hat, and I'm good. So I'm going to wear this hat when I cross over the border at Niagara Falls. You got your passport stamp? You ready? I mean, since you cost us this Florida trip next week, I'm going to be after you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the whole thing. I mean, if the Orioles win one of these big spring training games on Monday or Tuesday, I'm going to be upset with you.
Let's at this point, let's just hope they get through those games without any more injuries. I mean, now we're talking about Grayson Rodriguez with his tricep. Tyler O'Neill was scratched in the game, even though it sounds like it's minor. I
Imagine
mean,
that.
yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, at this
Peter
point, it's
King and
like
I have been going back and forth. The football writer, Peter King and I, we were texting a couple weeks ago. He's a big
Tyler
Red Sox
O'Neill.
fan, right?
Yeah.
So he hit me. He's like, he's going to hit 41 home runs in 94 games for you this year.
Hey, with the new left field wall, I mean, that might be the idea. But yeah, I mean, it's you're at the point now where it's just like, just start the season. I mean, it's get to late March. I mean, you don't want guys getting hurt in these, you know, these practice games. But
Stupid games.
yeah, but yeah,
That's
the
why we're not
Grayson.
going next week. They're just stupid preseason
Yeah,
games. We have the important Ronnie Stanley debate here the next couple of days. All right. Luke will be monitoring all of that while we're ignoring baseball because it's what we do. I will be following Towson basketball. We're going to be over at CVP, Charles Village Pub on Sunday at noon. I'll be back on Monday at 6 if they win, and then Tuesday at 7 if they win that one. We're doing the show next Friday at Charles Village Pub. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I will have the magic 8-ball scratch-offs. We gave away some of those at Fadley's on Thursday. Had great guests on Thursday. I had Megan McCorkle stop by. She was great. We talked a lot about the Lexington market, everything going on down there as baseball season returns. American Cancer Society. We also talked to a police officer and his staff about preparing youth for tomorrow. So we're still serving the community out there. My thanks to everybody who invited us out for the Addies on Thursday night as well. All the advertising agencies, they loved my long hair. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. Have a great weekend, Baltimore. We're Baltimore positive.